Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's main podcast episode. It is season 4, believe it or not, episode 33. I am a Poxy YouTuber. I am joined by two other Poxy YouTubers. Luke, how are you doing?
Yeah, mate, I'm very well after having getting all that testosterone out of my body this afternoon through social
media. Hey, mate, what you're doing, you're on time.
Yeah, through social media. Do you know what? It's a bit of my escape. Is social media. I do like to fucking have a little bit of an argument every now and then. But I didn't.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I didn't really deserve what he called me. So I just thought, do you know what? You can have it. You can have some.
Arguing on the internet, something I try and steer clear of. To be honest, it's not something.
It is me these days. It is me. I'm a new man.
Smarty, how you doing?
All right. How are you?
Yeah, you
I'm
know.
All right. I've been enjoying watching my friend down at the bottom there winding people up all day on Twitter. It's been quite funny. I've refrained from joining in myself for a change. I've just been a carefree, just a casual bystander on this occasion. It's been quite funny.
Joe calls us the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
The Wu-Tang Clan of the Leeds Metaverse, or whatever you want, I don't know.
Podosphere. I don't know.
We'll make words up.
Sounds about right.
Interesting.
Yeah, things could be worse. You know, I am tonight. I am sponsored by Cruz Campo.
Nice.
San Miguel. And if it needs it, a bit of Moretti as well. So, if anybody wants to get in touch and send us some free beers, then do so. Other than that, we'll get an intro going, and then we'll get into it.
Ah. Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
Like some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
The utensil player a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
Right, I'm bored of commenting on that start every time we do it. So
yeah, we need a new one for next season, don't we?
Yeah, that's all right. We've done a new one each time anyway, so we're just about due. So there'll be a
I'm
new
fed
one.
Fed up of just hearing Jay right at the end. You know what I mean?
I do quite like all Jay. The laughing.
No, do you know what? I've grown to like Jay more and more as I've got to know him. But like that, it's just because he's right at the end of that intro.
You don't like him more. You're just used to him now. Like
yeah,
the rest of us.
I tolerate him. Yeah. And I've seen
like a grow. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just getting rid of.
Like a spot on your ass, yeah.
He's like athlete's foot, you just get used to him being there. Just like this irritating little thing. I'm joking.
Okay. So the pair of you were on BNC, if I am not mistaken.
Yes, we were.
No, not mistaken.
Smarty and I did Smarty a huge favour while he went and put his keys in some bowls. I covered his BNC over the weekend. So he did mine yesterday, which really confused me in the morning when I was trying to line up exactly what was going on yesterday and today, but never mind. We'll get there. So I guess I'll say my piece on all, and we'll do some predictions and then we'll move on. First thing I wanted to say was a tip of the hat to the club and their fans. I thought Hull handled things specifically around, you know, the memories of Chris and Kev, and you know, the way that, and the ref as well, to bring him into that as well, because I think it deserves a bit of recognition that it was handled really well. I think in the past we've not stopped. You know, when we've turned our backs and we've applauded, the game's not stopped, and there's been kind of, you can understand people just peeving over the shoulders and what have you, but I thought it were handled really well all round. You know, the flowers being laid and the memories being shared, and but Hull as a club, I think there's been issues in the past. You know, they discourage their fans from bringing Turkey flags and shirts, which they do to other games, and they did, you know, I didn't see any evidence of it, and I thought that they were respectful all through it as well. So no, fair play to them and to the ref for stopping the game. I don't think he had much choice. We had possession, and we just made it clear that that's what was happening. But he joined in, and you know, the officials were clapping as well. And I thought he just deserved a bit of recognition.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of, couldn't say fairer than that.
I didn't know that the players had stopped, because I'd turned round. Yeah. And obviously, I didn't see that they'd stopped.
No, I just heard people around me saying it. So you know, I thought it was a pretty big deal, and I thought that he was handled well all through the night. So no, fair play, and I think Rosinha as well. Rosinha. I don't know. He was also, you know, he's quite complimentary, but without being a suck up about it, and with, you know, there were no bad feelings, even though the game maybe could have gone slightly differently if things had gone another way. But I thought he did pretty well as well. In terms of the game itself, there were a couple of players that I was surprised at. So they played with a bit of a false nine. I thought Carvalho were really poor other than his goal. And let's be fair, he was there to score a goal, and he did. And Philogene was supposedly this wonder player that was, you know, rivaling Somerville this season, and he was just nowhere. Yeah.
Sounds like a lady product.
I didn't. Just a bit. it reminds me of a rugby league player. Luke will know him. There's somebody.
Standard Gene.
Yeah.
Nobody ever knew how old he was, you know, because like he came over on this, like, well, Papua New Guinea, in a way, I think, where Fiji was passport. And he was like, it said he was like, I don't know, mid 20s, and he looked about fucking 40. And nobody ever knew his age. Like, it was one of them people, like one of my mates who tells everyone he's like in his 20s, but he's like 40 because he looks young.
Well, you're in your 30s, mate.
Like me. mid 30s, me, kid. That bloke says to me today, go buy some sweets for your grandkids.
It's because of grey beard.
Because it's going to be grey around
salt
mouth.
Cat cream.
Yeah, grey in the mouth.
Yeah, grey in the mouth.
It's just me go fast.
Shit, Christ.
All right.
Breaking stuff here.
Balance of the game. I thought that Bull did quite well in terms of retaining possession. I think the ball retention was poor from us, but they didn't really do well with it. I don't know. It was one of them where I think, especially with what happened with Ipswich right before the game, you know, they scored just as I got on concourse and cough. And everyone was like, oh, for fuck's sake, you know, I'll get 97. What the fuck? How do they do this every time? And I think that it could have gone quite a different way based on the fan reaction to that. But it didn't in the end. I have listened to some of the BNC but all back.
I keep losing you, Gilly. Sorry, mate.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, my AirPods aren't charged and died, so hopefully that'll be sorted now. I think it could have been one of those that where we got really tense and nervous. And I was nervous, but I didn't get that feeling from the rest of the ground that it were like, shit, this is going to go wrong. You were both there. Did you? I don't know if you talked about this specific bit. I can't remember you mentioning it. Did you have that level of nerves? But did you also pick it up from the rest of the crowd that the crowd was nervous?
Absolutely. That's one of the things we focused on actually last night. It's But one of the other things I noticed is that actually how that reflects onto the players, because we saw later on in the game Ampadu and Rodon trying to G the crowd up because they were like, you know what, when it's silent in there, you can hear a pin drop, can't you? Like, you can. And for to have almost sort of 40,000 people in there and be able to hear somebody shouting from sort of 20 yards away shouldn't be able to happen. And we've been having to and fro's with Hull fans online as well, haven't we, about how the atmosphere's been shite and that. But I completely put it down to the position we're in. If we were mid-table or had nothing to play for, it'd be rocking in there every week. You know what I mean? It's simply down to nerves for me, and that's all I can put it down to, because we've had some belting nights in there, and Easter Monday late kickoff as well. I mean, it's not ideal, but yeah, I think had Ipswich not scored that late winner, I think it'd have been a very different atmosphere as well.
Yeah, and
did anyone have a nervous poo?
I have a few.
A nervous pre-game poo. I know a few people. Yeah, but I say there's a few people saying, "Oh, I needed to go to the loo for a nervous poo." Oh, you know, I wouldn't go that far.
Where did you go when you get to the stadium, though? You've got a choice of.
I know. You'd have to do it before.
Beforehand, let me know you're having a nervous poo.
All right.
That's you'd be cutting it close if you needed it on the way to the game. You know, I wouldn't want to go in them toilets. No. I don't anyway, really, if I can help it.
I'd have to stand on seat and squat, I think, if I went in them toilets.
Bit grim. Well, that's what Jay has to do anyway. He has to climb on them.
little steps going up to it like kids have. The little toddler steps.
Just carries one in his bag. We did touch on it last night. We said there was an air of apprehension and a bit of a pre-game anxiety and stuff. It's the first game that I kind of thought, this is going to be a tricky one. I didn't really know how it was going to go. But in the end, we got the 3 points, and that's all that matters. But I think we've seen it a lot more since Christmas, since the turn of the year, since we've done so well. And there's kind of an air of expectancy now for us to do well, because we have been doing so well. It's kind of like, you know, at which point are we going to slip up? Is it going to be this lot, you know, with the Easter weekend bullshit that we've had, you know, forced fat down his throats, saying that, oh, we never win on Easter Monday and all that sort of stuff. You've always got them in the back of your mind, haven't you? But at the end of the day, we did well. I think we defended well. They didn't really do a lot with the ball, with all the possession that they had. And end of the day, fuck them. 3-1, Bosch, cheers. See you later.
Feed them rice. Yeah. Yeah, I do agree with that. I think, but they were decent in passages. You know, I don't think you can get away from the fact that there's not many sides that come to Elland Road and dominate possession. I don't think it's happened this season. You know, it's happened away a few times, but not Elland Road. And I think if you listen to Farker, I think he paid him a lot of respect, because he was saying, you know, we were conscious that they lay traps for people and we weren't going to get dragged into that. And I think as fans, that's something, you know, I was getting frustrated in the game. I mean, I got frustrated when we conceded the goal, because it were eminently avoidable, if you ask me, in terms of the build-up and the way that it wasn't dealt with. But, you know, we were standing off, I think, quite a lot. And that was with intent. And I don't know whether that's canny and we just need to get used to it, or whether that's something that something going on in background, Smile.
No. I had a little tickle that I needed to scratch. It was in a particular place.
I think about we can hear your kids.
Oh, can you hear them in the background?
And maybe a dog walking around.
And I'll tell them to shut up 2 seconds. Go on, I'll make me sit.
Shut up.
I don't know what you were talking about. I'm going to have a look back at that.
They can hear you. He's just said, I can lip read me. I reckon I can get paid for that.
No, I don't know where his little tickle was. That's what I was saying.
on my foot. All like that. Just not trying to do something like that with my hands not showing, do you know what I mean? Like, oh, you know.
Smells like a foot anyway.
Like that, with your back leg going, because
that's
like,
what I mean. Eyes starting to blink.
Just to sort of elaborate on that, Gilly, I likened him last night, I think, to Yapstam's Reading. Obviously a bit better and a bit more sort of dominant than that, but they used to have a lot of the ball and do nothing with it, you know. I mean, all of that old side were better than Yapstam's Reading side, no doubts. But they were just to have all that possession and have nothing to show for it. I think they only had 2 shots on target all game.
One of them.
Basically, they made one save, and the other one was a goal. So it goes to show you, do you know what I mean? I think we've been quite. I don't know if it's just the nature, and again, going back to how our position, and you know that realistically we should be up near the top and stuff with the squad we've got and Farker and everything else. But we've got to a point now where we're really expecting to win at most games, especially at Elland Road. It's difficult when you're not winning and it's won all. And I don't know why I'm going with this. I had a point and it's completely gone out of my head.
I've got a point to expand on while you think about it. It feels to me, it almost feels like now at this point in the season and the position that we're in the league, regardless of whether we're first, second or third, it's all so close at the moment while we're not losing. We've got something to lose. You can't win the league now because everybody's winning their games, but you can lose it. So if you lose two on the bounce, you know, Southampton only picked up one over at one point over the two games over Easter. And that really, really puts them up against it. Regardless of the points in hand and all, the games in hand and all of that sort of stuff, it's that puts them really up against it. And I think it is quite easy for us to be in a position where you can see anybody that loses or loses one and draws one or loses two games, they're pretty much going to be gone because the other sides just keep winning. So there's something to lose, isn't it? It's like a 1-0 or a 1-0 coming towards the 80th minute. You know you're towards the end of the season. You know you're in the position of there could be something great happening here. But the other side to it is you've got something to lose, and you could concede, and you could slip up at the end.
Yeah, it's all come back pressure to me anyway. As well, isn't it? Come back to me. Don't speak. Let me try and remember why it was come back.
Don't speak. Can't speak.
Yeah, I know where I was going with that. I think obviously we've been overcritical of ourselves because of the expectation, the levels that we've been used to, basically, I'm trying to say. But we're being overcritical. A lot of people are saying that Hull deserve to win that game. Now, I think they deserve to potentially get something out of it. But when you actually look at the chances we missed as well, with the Joseph one, the Bamford one, we won a penalty. We had some other good chances as well. They weren't creating those type of chances. They were creating space and got a lot of luck in and around the edge of our box. And I think they had two which whistled just wide of each of Meslier's posts in the first half. Although they're in control, I don't think they ever looked like making loads of chances. And that was simply down to the way we defended. As you say, we weren't forced into coming out, and Ampadu and Rodon weren't forced to come out and mark anybody because Gray and Kamara were doing their job defensively. And there just wasn't that space in behind like we were creating. I think we probably are being a little bit overcritical online, or some people certainly are, of that performance when actually we still won it 3-1. Now I know it's a freak goal that made it 3-1 and a penalty, but ultimately, 9 times out of 10, you don't really win a game 3-1 if you don't deserve to win 3-1. Even a little bit of balance of play. So yeah, I'm all right with it.
Hull had a lot of possession in the middle of the midfield, but they didn't do anything down the wings. You know, and they knocked it about. It was like watching frigging Japstam's Reading. You know, they were knocking it about freely at the back, and they were doing well in midfield. But they didn't frigging do out with it, you know. And that's what wins your games. It's all right having all the possession, but if you don't do fuck all with it, then, you know, you get Dick 3-1. Bosh, see ya.
Yeah, and, you know, the point we've made before several times on the pod already is attacks win your games, but defences win your titles. Absolutely. And it is because of the way that we're defending and the way that we're able to set up and the way that we're able to transition into attack because the defence are playing well. I thought, in terms of Hull players, I was surprised at how poor they were on the wings and up front. I thought Tyler Morton did pretty well. I thought Louis Coyle did pretty well, especially to say that...
Yeah, he had a game.
I don't know where he's regularly been playing, but I thought him as a fullback and he would have...
Yeah, he's a fullback. He's a right back.
Yeah, they played him because... what's his face? Wasn't Greaves. Name, was it? Greaves.
Who has been playing well for them?
Yeah, he's been arguably their best player. I think there's talk of him getting into team of the year, and he's been into a lot of teams of the month and stuff like that. So I think they did miss him, but even still, I still think we were good value for a win there, regardless, you know. And I think Louis Coyle, I was disappointed with Philogene. I expected more from him, but having seen a couple of the whole fans' remarks on him. He hasn't been the same since for the last 7 or 8 games, apparently. He started playing for himself and he's starting to believe his own hype and that when he scored that. Was it a Rabona that weren't actually his? It came off a defender.
Yeah, he wasn't even on target.
Deflected,
and they gave him the goal. So, yeah, ever since then, I think he's been believing his own hype, apparently. And Carvalho. I was disappointed with him, other than getting his goal. I thought he offered him absolutely nothing else.
Yeah, very quiet game. Not to spend too long on it, because I know you guys took quite a while on it last night. In terms of our players, man of the match for me would be Byram. I think that Somerville had a really good game. The penalty stuff aside, he was a penalty taker before Pirot came on. Pirot's a penalty taker if he's on the pitch. Whatever. The important thing is it got finished, and it did get finished. You can't miss him. If you take it off somebody else, you can't miss him. And he had the balls to do it. And you know what? That's the important bit. It goes in back at net, innit? But that aside, I thought he carried the impetus more than anybody else in attack. I thought Rodon had a really good game again, drove us forward. But for me, Byram, especially with some of the comments that have been made afterwards, where he'd gone to Farker and basically said, I can't run anymore. And Farker went, yeah, okay, nice one. And put him back out there anyway. And the fact that he still just kept Philogene in his pocket. And when Philogene went over to be fair to Firpo, Philogene went over there and did nothing against him either. I thought we defended really well. For me, I'd give it Byron purely because it sounds like he went to Farker and he went, look, I'm fucked. And he went, yeah. Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah. One of the players I didn't mention last night, because between Lou Smart and myself, we said the same too, Byram and Somerville. I then chipped in with Rodon, who Smart said was shit. And then the only player I didn't mention who I
accidentally.
I know. But the only player who we didn't really mention, who I thought probably had one of his best games defensively, was Junior Firpo. And that was Mark in Philogene, and then the other lad.
He came from Barca.
Don't know how to say his name. The other lad, it was the little short lad, wasn't it?
Him. See it now. Yeah, him.
I thought Firpo was very good defensively as well. Probably, arguably, for one of the first times ever.
Yeah, and fair play to Matteo Joseph, because he just loves it, doesn't he? Get on, give him a kick.
First touch, he just went straight into Coyle. He had to go off injured.
Yeah, I thought he was a bit unlucky with his finish, to be honest, which obviously was far easier than Bamford's, which wouldn't have started any arguments at all. it was unlucky, you know, for it to come off the post like that. I think it's a bit unlucky there anyway. Okay, so unless there's anything else to mention, I'll move us off Hull and on to the predictions results for Hull.
Ah, shit, yeah.
Yeah, so we've actually got 2 games to cover. Watford will be dead quick. They got a draw, and nobody predicted a draw, so nobody got any points.
You're not doing your screen thing.
No. Ah, shit.
Auto no better predictions.
Don't like worry, fucking clockwork.
There it is, mate. There we go.
Cheers, Luke.
Hold on, dog's trying to break into room 2.
Jesus Christ. It's like a zoo in his house, isn't it?
What the frigging hell's going on? Everyone's like, if she's making
right
slime. Little one's making frigging slime in kitchen, listening to someone on TV, and Doc's trying to break in fucking place.
Because his holidays, isn't it?
Honestly.
Why don't you go down to left wing at Palace and just work from there?
Yeah, left could do. That's where my sex swing is.
Is it?
Carl's getting excited, look.
Oh, yeah. So, Watford, 0 points all round. We'll just move on. So, what we did have is we had, which way around? I'll start at the bottom. Bren went 2-0 Leeds, which gets him 3 points. Jay went 4-1 Leeds, which gets him 1 point. Jay's probably still spitting feathers. Because Carl went 3-1 lead, so Jay didn't, and Carl gets himself 5 sweet points. Luke went 3-0 leads, gets 1. Smarty went 1-0 leads, gets 1. Jammy, on behalf of the fans, went 2-2 draw and gets the fans minus 3 points.
Get in there. Well done, Jammy.
Nice one, Jammy. You're not going to be welcoming that chat much longer, mate.
And I myself Despite saying the only times I don't go 3-1, we always lose 3-1, and I'm going to go 2-1 and got myself 1 point, and we won 3-1, which means that the fans are currently on 26 points. Carl is on 41. Jay is on 43. Smarty is on 44. Luke is on 47. I'm on 50. And Bren is on 53.
Piss wow. off, Bren, shithouse.
Did he win it last year as well, Bren?
No.
No, Jay won it last year, but we didn't talk about it. He's spitting feathers about that as well.
Look at him in bloody comments.
Oh, sorry.
You can't... Oh, where have you gone? Where have you gone? Before? Here we go. There we go. He was saying before the game and after the game, you probably did, Mikhail, blah, 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 blah. You can pick the same as everyone else. I've fallen foul of it myself between me and Bren because Bren was like, oh, I'm not going to same as Smarty and blah, 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 blah. You can go the same. It's not, there's no rules to say that you can't pick the same fucking prediction as someone else, you little shit. So stop.
Exactly. Of which I reminded him before the game that there's no rule that says you can't go the same as somebody else. And he went, yeah, yeah, but I want to win. So on your own, Ed, be it, Jay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you said he wants to award it again now. All right, that looks...
I hope you get it wrong.
Sam's got his prediction in early. That's 2-2 for fucking fans. Get it clocked. Get it locked in.
No, no, no. Pass this finger first once we ask for it. Just because you're saying draw, so they get my
mind. Yeah, yeah, fuck
I know your game.
I'm not a bottom of the league anyway, Marlston.
No, you're not. And I think you know, the fans would have to go some to be back in the mix. But you know, we'll see. Jay was a long way behind. He got 15 points in 3 games, so you never know. So just to touch on the rest of the games then. So Leicester won one game, lost the other.
Yes.
Ipswich won both. We got a draw and a win, so 4 points. Saints drew and lost, only the 1 point. So Luke, I'll ask you about Saints first. And this is not a loaded question that refers to somebody on Twitter that was a Southampton account. But are they out of the running now, finally? Are they out of the running?
I think we'd have to be really naive to say they were. We know how these things go. Basham arriving and all that bollocks. So we know things can change overnight. If we all three of us lose at the weekend and Saints win, you know, they're very much back in it. They're only 6 points. I think if they win the 2 games in hand, they're only 6 points behind. So...
yeah, but one of them's Leicester.
Yeah, no, fair point. But which would move them even closer to Leicester. So yeah. I think we'd be naive to say that. I think they probably are, honestly. But I think we'd have to be very naive and daft just to write them off because at your own peril, do you know what I mean? You don't do that. And Farker will certainly be sending that message. I think they're probably. Probably they left themselves a little bit too much work to do. They've got a really condensed fixture list now from now until the end of the season. They're probably they're obviously the worst place out of the four of us to automatics. But yeah, I wouldn't be putting any money on them to be promoted automatically from this at this stage. Nowhere.
Yeah, it is 11 points now. Is that gap? And they've only the one game in hand over Leicester. There were 11 right. points in front of them because Leicester have got a game in hand over us. So it's 2 over us, but the 12 points behind us. So, you know, that's something to make up at this point, even with a couple of games in hand, isn't it? So,
yeah. So if they beat Leicester, though, if they win the 2 in hand and then the other one that they've got when we're at the time we're playing, hypothetically, say, as I said, if the three of us lose, they're only actually 3 points behind us with 5 games left. 5 games left.
I don't think their games in hand come that early, do they?
No, but I'm just saying, if they win their next 3 and we, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't forget the players' last game of the season as well. I just think it's too much for him to do now. I think Russell Martin's a cock as well, so fuck him.
And we were really nice to their fans when we brought him on.
He's a nice kid. He was a nice kid.
They were all right, weren't they? Just one other one I want to mention is we were probably, I think I may have been a little bit too nice to the Leicester fan, given how much they've cheated. So obviously there's some more information being shared around Leicester and their financial position and so on, Leicester and other clubs. But I think it is fair now to reflect on last season and this season and think that Forest and Everton shouldn't be there at all. And that Leicester, although relegated, also cheated, finished above us, but have used that as impetus to have the season that they have. So, yeah, we were nice to their fans, but fuck them, the cheats, and they can fuck off. Is that fair?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd say so.
Good. So we'd said, well, I don't have them in front of me, but we'd all predicted what we thought was going to happen and the league positions come the end of the season. Smarty, I don't know if you remember what you'd said, but given that we're now in a position where us and Ipswich are on the same number of games and they're 1 point ahead, we've still got a significantly better goal difference than them. Do you see us finishing above Ipswich, and would that make us champions, Smarty?
That's a chuffing call, is that? It's so tight, isn't it, at the top. You know, I was going to say earlier, you know, we've been clawing these guys back, you know, the 17-point gap that they had at the start of the season, start of the year even. You know, we've done so well, and now we've added just a little bit of pressure onto ourselves. You know, we've basically, well, there's three teams in it. It's us, Ipswich and Leicester. You know, we can go back over the Saints, but I think they're done now. I think they'll just have to settle for playoffs, in my opinion. It's a three-horse race now between us three. And I think there's equal pressure. I think, have Ipswich got the, well, statistically, the harder of the running now? Have they got the hardest
between teams? Between them and Leicester, it is. I think if you look at Saints, they're still to play Leicester and us.
But don't we have teams that are further down the bottom of the league, though?
We did have early on. I'm not sure at this stage, but I know.
I think we've
still
got a couple more, haven't we?
Leicester have got three very winnable games coming up. I think they've got Millwall, Birmingham.
They've got Birmingham, then Millwall, then Plymouth.
Plymouth, sorry, yeah. So they're, I mean, but they're all scrapping for relegation. There's no gimmies in this league at this stage of the season.
No. So like we've got Coventry. I think Sunderland are mid-table and will stay mid-table. I think they're just out of the playoff push now, aren't they? Blackburn are still pushing for playoffs. Where are Borough?
Borough
are ninth. So Borough are pushing for it as well then.
Yeah.
So there's three quite tough games, Blackburn, Coventry and Borough. And then you've got QPR who are fighting for survival. So they're all quite difficult games for us. There's no easy games. I mean, we always say that there's no easy games.
There's always something to play for, isn't there?
We always say that in the Championship, you know. But, you know, I just think the way that we're going, we have to fancy ourselves for automatics. We have to do, because we've been playing so well. We haven't lost. We're undefeated this year, you know, and Leicester seem to be slipping up every now and again. I would quite like us to finish top. I would like us to go as champions. And I think I said on the Berardi and Coke, nothing would please me more than Ipswich losing to Huddersfield Town the last game of the season, meaning they probably stay up, and us being promoted as champions. That would just be an absolute cherry on the cake for me.
We had to do that at Highbury, didn't we, because of scum?
If we're not in the same league, I don't really give a fuck about Huddersfield. Fuck them.
No, I don't. But I just the chat earlier on.
It'd be funny. It'd be funny if they won and they got relegated. Now, that would be really funny. Yeah. You know, just to really rub the salt in the wounds that they kept us.
An Aguero moment. Aguero! Yeah. They think they fucking won. They think they stayed up.
That's it, yeah. That'd be funny. But no, yeah, I think we're in a really, really good position. But like you say, it's really tight. It's a really close call, this. But given our momentum and everything that's going for us at the minute, I think, you know.
You mentioned this, mate, about us playing well. I don't think we're playing particularly well at the minute. I think we're doing really well with the squad we've got available to us.
I think since the last two games have been a bit pish. Yeah. But I think that's because we've been maybe slightly dejected since, obviously, the internationals and the fact that we've not had the guys haven't had a proper training session together, have they? Whereas now they've got a good stretch.
I think the two games before we were relatively poor, we were looking a bit tired, because people were saying that actually this international break couldn't have come at a better time for us. Because
it's had the complete opposite effect.
Yeah, it's had the opposite adverse effect. But actually, I think for the last four games, whilst we've still got results and been unbeaten, the sign of a good team is to go through those spells and still win points. We've got the likes of Anononto's out for another couple of weeks or so, as is Roberts, I believe. I think Gruev's the most likely to be back for the weekend.
I thought they were all 2 to 3 weeks.
I'm not sure. I could be wrong, but when you add those into your team, and it just bolsters those options so much more, doesn't it? And we look
massively miss Gruev.
We do. And we've got to consider that if they're out for two, three weeks or whatever it is, they're still going to get back to match fitness. So they're not going to be coming straight back into the sides. So it's going to put us, if we can still get through these next few games with some positive results, it's going to put us in a great position for the running right up to the last two or three, four games. Do you know what I mean?
Ipswich have lost Kiefer Moore as well, though. And
they're making a decision on it, aren't they,
next few games. I had a quick look before the pod to see if there's been any update on Kiefer Moore, because he's a big player for them. They really have kicked on since they've added him to their roster.
The thing is, they're not going to be promoting that he's fit or not before playing Norwich away, are they? They're going to keep that under tight lid.
That's true.
I mean, just so on that, Luke, sure. I know that you've got a couple of mates that Ipswich fans aren't you? So in terms of that derby, we've talked about the fact that they don't go and beat Norwich very often, well, at home or away. And, you know, their record there is pretty poor. I don't know if you got to see any of the Leicester-Norwich game, but Norwich were absolutely abject. It's genuinely the worst championship performance I've seen this season. It was awful. Is it a complete leveller in that game?
Yeah, absolutely. They're really nervous. I've been texting one of my mates today. He thinks they're not going to get much from it. A draw, he'd be happy with a draw at this stage.
An Ipswich fan would be happy with a draw at this stage.
Yeah, he mentioned that he reckons Kiefer Moore might be fit, but he said he reckons that McKenna's playing games. But yeah, look, we've got.
I mean, there were no games of him the way he went off at weekend.
No, and you don't go off in the first half in arguably the biggest fixture of the season to date. Yeah, I mean, it was their biggest fixture of the season to date for Ipswich, because it was a game, you know, if either of them won, that put them in a much better position. And he's been, Ipswich singing his praises, saying he's been the best signing for years and that. But you don't go off in the first half with as a precaution in a game like that, I don't think. So I think there's probably a little bit more to it. Look, McKenna's not daft. He worked I think he was Mourinho's highest coach when he was at Scum, and they finished second in the league under Jose when McKenna was there. So he's not daft. He's been around a bit, hasn't he? So I think we've just got to concentrate on our role, and I think that's the message Farker will be sending to the players in training. Forget what everybody else does. If we win every game, others will drop points. Or if we go to win every game, there'll be times when others drop points, and we'll capitalise hopefully on that. I still think we'll go up as champions, mate.
I hope we do.
And I won't care if we finish second.
I quite happily take second.
Yeah. I would.
If you guaranteed me it, I'd take playoff finalist winner if you guaranteed me, but I cannot handle the playoffs again.
I don't want to go through that shit.
I'll tell you what, it's a tough playoff group this year as well. When you look who's there, West Brom, Saints are probably going to be in there as well.
And one of either, obviously Watford, if we were there, one of the top three is going to be in there, and it's going to be a difficult one, that, isn't it? Because whoever it is, out of us, Leicester, Ipswich, whoever it is, you drop into the playoffs having thought that you had a really good chance of getting automatic promotion, and then you've got to go again. Whereas everybody else, you know, they pretty much know now, right, that we're prepping for playoffs. Mm-hmm. Coventry, Preston, all they're kind of battling to get into the playoffs, and if any of them do, they'll have a bit of impetus to carry forwards. And they'll have momentum because
we'll have the opposite, because whoever the top one of the top three or four will certainly have the opposite to the momentum. So they'll have dropped out of automatics at some stage, and also the guys who've made the playoffs, but I'll have to have been on a decent run and been picking up points. And it's a real tough one as well, isn't it? When as soon as you get into that territory, it can be a lot of them. I mean, we've seen it with Watford away, at Wembley, with Donny Rovers over the years. Derby the other year, it's just not a nice place for Leeds fans.
It's really not.
It's that expectation when it comes down to the actual nerves and that. It's just so obvious how nervous we are as fans. Like when it comes to those sort of real crucial stages, it'd be great if we could go into the last two or three games already promoted at second, and we start pulling away.
Yeah.
And we're playing to win the league with one of the other two. But I can't see it. I think it's just too tight this year.
Yeah, I mean, Carl said that we're going to be 4 points clear, so, you know, it'll just be a party day. I'd take it. I would take it.
Yeah. Imagine if we guaranteed promotion before the last game of the season.
We'll all go have mustaches, don't forget.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
Yes, Marty. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Might just get one of them stick-on big, like, handlebar ones.
Just, like Wario.
A lot longer than this. Oh, look at this beast.
Grow one? You got a bit of time?
I could grow a tash. I could cut this right down. I could grow a tash, but I'd look... Right, can you imagine me?
You've got time.
Imagine me.
You shave it off next day.
No. It's only for look one right, day. Dick.
Yeah, I mean, Smarty, I don't want to be very bad news.
Listen, we can tell how much I know I look a dick anyway, but imagine me with a fucking mustache. Like, there's some sort of fucking dickhead from 80s with a pissing mustache slapped across
my friggin'
lip.
We'll all be doing it together.
Yeah, but you look like dickheads as well. So why would we want to make ourselves look even worse?
Just play the game and stop being a fan.
Hell. I can't look as good as Conor Roberts. Did you see the way he turned to the camera the last night?
No.
Bosh, like that. Fucking, honestly. He's
I do
fit.
Like him.
He's fit. He makes me fizz.
But the Hawaiian shirt will have to come out. As Breen mentions, he'll be a reverse of Hawaiian 5-0 last year. Yeah, we all had the... Hawaiian shirts on end of last season, so and it was a great day. So if I'm going as a Tashmeister, I'm going to be having that as well.
Well,
there's a compliment for you, Smarty. Do you want to read that out?
That is one. Nope, I'm not reading that one out. I'm getting some bash in here. Look at these. What does it say, Freddie Mercury? Oh, for fuck's sake!
Who's
man.
Touching that? It's not me.
I'm trying to do it. Freddie Mercury and Muzzy would suit you, Smarty. That's lovely. Thank you very much.
And Lee Fryer says John Aldridge.
Christ. Yeah. He needs to be careful. He needs to be careful what he's saying in the comments. Don't you, Lee? Shit house.
Oh.
Aye.
Up the Welsh.
Why has he got to be careful?
He's coming
on
here.
Do have any secrets? Ah.
No, you've given the game away. Well, do you want to get him lined up at some point?
I have to tell you, fucking worry, mate. It's all sorted in background whilst you've been doing whatever you've been doing.
It might have been an idea to let us know.
You know, the guy hosting it and that. right, we've got some comments, Dad, so I'm just going to spin through with these. Mark Edison says, if Hull had a decent strike, it would have been a different outcome. I think he's spelled Hull wrong. He's put an H up front of it.
What the fuck's going on here?
I don't know what Jason means here. Luke's been rattling cages on X today, says Jason O'Keefe. I don't know what he's on about, mate. Oh, hang on. Somebody pop someone up then. Go on, go back. All right, no. Dave says Farker got his tactic spot on. They didn't really threaten us. I think that's fair. They had a lot of the ball, and Farker said afterwards about this laying traps and whatever else. Their ball retention was good, but they didn't really get at us, and I think that's fair. Southy says only Smarty has the answer.
Okay. You've not been here long, have you?
Liam B. Byron wasn't able to sprint anymore in the game. He kept playing early to the end, made a massive effort, and that for me is the main thrust of why he chose him. Not only did he keep his opposite man really quiet, but it were clear that you know, he was struggling in the game and he just carried on going and doing what he was doing. So that's a fair point. Andy says, Cooper's a club legend, but was good to see Rodon Ampadu at centre-back. I think we were all pleased to see that because you can't argue with the results that we've had while they've been playing centre-back together.
Is he a legend?
I think he's an
icon.
He's as close to a legend as we've got at the club at the moment.
I'd say legend. I'd say, especially if we get promoted this season, he's been club captain twice, probably been promoted.
He's barely played this season, though.
He's still been club captain.
I know what you're saying. Well, brief.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He's back in the legend.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he won us the fucking title, though. There's a difference. Icon, I would say, yes. Legend, maybe not. But, you know, that's just my opinion.
No, I think you're a recuperating bastard. Always have been, always Absolutely. Will be, and you can get
Definitely.
In.
Definitely. 100%. But he's still not legend, time. In my opinion. But there you go.
I'm going to go for a Chris Kamara moustache.
You need to do that Charles Bronson thing that you did fucking a couple of years ago. That was pretty good.
I've got a cartoon well. Version of that, but yeah.
Belter that one, wasn't it?
Yeah, now I am gonna do the colour. It's a nice little thin bastard, just tilting up at the top here. Right time. I'm gonna get it proper done by barbers and then shave it off next day. It's gonna cost me 20 quid.
Stu Nick asked how badly injured is Moore. I think we covered that. I mean, we're not really sure. We think there might be some games being played. There's been no, I think the only updates I've seen is they're not sure if he's going to be available, which to me says, yeah, he's going to be.
Or is he? I don't know. You don't go off in the first half. You know what I mean? Just as potentially as precautionary. I just don't see it in a big game because it was a close game at that stage.
That's another one. Ailing. Is he a legend? Is Dallas a legend? Is Click a legend?
Is Berra?
Icons, definitely. Legends, probably not.
Would you not say that all that team, all that squad that got promoted that year after 16 years wasn't
legendary? We, when we talk about legends, we talk about people like Hunter, we talk about Gray, we talk about, you know, your Strachan.
Is Bielsa a legend?
There we go.
Nice. Listen, what I will go back on is the fact that, you know, you look at Wilco and the fact that we've not done anything and the amount of fans that were saying we can't do anything, we can't do something for Bielsa and not do it for Wilco while actually achieve something at the club. As much as I love Bielsa, we will always talk about Bielsa, but will we always talk about Liam Cooper?
No, that
can you publish a Wilco? Guide on the difference between
we're covering the whole topic here. We don't have to, you know.
But you mentioned Wilco, and for me, so are you saying that Wilco's not a legend?
I think he is a legend. But 100%, because he actually achieved something at the club.
And Bielsa didn't?
I can't really say about Bielsa because I don't know. I don't. Is he a legend? It's a difficult one.
Luke, can I just think Bielsa's a legend?
Don Revy, yes. When you're talking about managers, without trying to fucking completely fucking throw myself under the bus here, managers are probably slightly different to players. I can't really say about Bielsa as much as I love the man.
Can I just ask you a question? Is Bielsa a club legend?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to say that Bielsa is a legend, but the players aren't.
Struggled with it
because I've just completely myself.
Distinct comment.
I can't because I'm trying not to double down and fucking completely contradict myself. But yeah, I would say Bielsa was a legend, but I wouldn't say that fucking Liam Cooper is. But that's like I say, this is why it's such a good topic because it's so, you know, it's definitely controversial, obviously. But it's a matter of opinion.
What defines a legend then? What between icon and legend? What's the difference?
I think icons like you say, your Clicks, your Coopers, your Aliens, people that have done something for the club that have obviously served the club well, that we will remember. But when you talk about actual legends of the club, you can't put fucking Strachan, Gray, Hunter, etc. Bremner in the same class as fucking Liam Cooper. Sorry, you just can't. For me personally, like obviously you two may want to do, and that's absolutely fine. But for me personally, I don't think that's the case.
Is that
maybe second
bias,
tier?
Is that because second, you've been told they're legends tier. By somebody else? Like this might be our era. Do you know what I mean?
Winning three leagues and, you know, putting the fucking club up there at the top of the fucking right at the top of the tree.
I get that.
You know, winning championship football is certainly not the same sort of level.
That was at so, a time, you know, when we were
listen,
at that
I'm prepared to put my foot right or my ass right on the fucking line here and say these sort of things because others won't. They will skirt around the subject.
Because it's wrong.
It's not wrong, mate. It's not wrong because there's a lot of people who will fucking definitely agree with me. There is a lot of people in the comments that I can see that do agree with me. So, you know, it's like I say, it's subjective and it's down to personal appearance. I've just seen Steve Brown saying smarty talking censorship that fucking got me higher than all that. Someone's got me back here, lads. I know fucking Bryn Johnson is as well.
Can you not be a legend?
The term legend gets thrown around too fucking freely for me.
I think you can be a legend. Let's pick a team that doesn't win anything. Do they not have any legends then?
Well, like who? Matt Letizia, is he a club legend for Saints? Never won anything there.
Never won a thing.
He might be a club legend to them, but I don't give a fuck about them. I'm talking about my team.
I would say that you define your own legendary status because based on where you are as a club at the time, you've got to think we were out of the fucking Premier League, out of the top flight for 16 years. Liam Cooper led us back to the Premier League. How can you not class him as a club legend?
He was the skipper throughout the entire of that. Not only through that, but through all of the shite before it.
Okay. If you guys want to class him as a legend, that's absolutely fine.
Is your Bowen a
legend? Like I say, it's subjective. It's subjective, isn't it? He's an icon. He's an icon. Radebe's a... Yeah, absolutely.
But your Bowen's not.
I've not really thought about that.
He's not
it's a hot topic, and I've got a few hot takes. I don't mind. Like I say, you know, if we're going through the actual nitty gritty, you know, it's one of them, isn't it? Yeboah probably could be classed as a legend because it's, you know, he's done so many legendary things. We're still talking about his goals to this day. I doubt we'll be talking about Liam Cooper in 30 years. We will not be talking about Luke Ayling and Stuart Dallas in 30 years, mate. We won't. Sorry.
Oh, we will, because we'll be talking about Stewie over that Man City game. We'll be talking about Ayling getting his pony.
Newer fans, people that haven't been fucking born yet, that'll be born in another 5 or 10 years, in 30 years' time, will not be talking about Liam Cooper and Stuart Dallas and Luke Ayling. They won't.
No, but that's because you keep saying how shit they are.
Oh, Christ, here we go.
Turning
the fucking narrative now, aren't we? We're going through all sorts of different fucking angles here.
Cooper, but you guys,
you guys, listen,
well.
You guys can fucking think what you want, but, you know.
Shall we let him off the hook now and move on, Luke?
I'm not even fucking sweating. There's no sweating here. It's just my opinion. And that's what football, that's why it makes it so good to talk about it, because it's just a difference of opinion. And some people share it and some people don't.
Moving on, Southie says Paddy didn't need that 2-week rest, made him lose his touch again. I've seen Paddy take some right pelters, and do you know what? To a certain extent, the miss that happened, let's just leave it at that, the miss that happened, you can be critical of that. You still can't fault his effort, his endeavour, the fact that he still occupies at least two defenders at any point on the pitch. He occupies the opposition defence in a way that none of our other players do, with the exception potentially of Matteo Joseph, who I still don't think has even started a championship game. So you can't just have that weight of expectation on him. And you guys did touch on this on the BNC. I still think that as a fan base, we're being a bit too harshly critical on some of the players, especially Paddy, I would say. And him coming back into the side coincided with other changes as well, but signaled the start of the run that we've been on where we've just not lost this year in the league. Are we just being too... Not we, as in us, other than Smarty, who just hates everybody related to Leeds at the moment.
I just fucking hate Leeds.
Leeds hating bastard. But yeah, other than that, as a fan base, is it just... Is it the nerves, I guess, is the question. Is it the nerves that people are scared?
Look, it's fine to call out bad performances, and when somebody's not performing, that's fine. You miss a chance like that, you're instantly public enemy number one. If we'd have gone and drawn that game last night, he would have been getting battered all Absolutely. Over social media and everywhere else. Back to the after the Stoke game when he missed the penalty, or Leicester last year when he missed a similar chance to the Monday night. But you cannot take away what he brings to that team, regardless of what you say. There is no other centre forward, I would say, arguably in the league, that does a job that Paddy Bamford does. Look, he doesn't get a lot of goals, but that's not his game. You don't get a lot of goals nowadays as a centre forward.
Smarty's going to shit himself now. Tony O'Shea's just...
You sarcastic bastard, Tony.
Tony O'Shea's just called Paddy a legend.
Yeah. And look...
Well, he is, apparently. He is.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. Fucking right legend.
I think we can be critical, but be overcritical if you've got to be. But when you start actually saying that he's been shy and not played well all season and he's not been back to his best, have we won 13 out of 15 games since he's been back or something silly?
Yep.
13 from 15 we've won and drawn two. We're still unbeaten with him as a number nine. Why would you want to shake that up? Why would you start messing about with that system? Why would you say, let's throw a 21-year-old who's never started a championship game into an away game? A lot of it's experience, and that Paddy could take that on the chin. As soon as he missed that opportunity, the crowd was singing his name. He's used to it. Like, do you know what I mean? He's used to it. So that's why we're not. That's why Pavarka won't change it. I'll guarantee. I would put a bet on that. I would guarantee that Paddy Bamford starts at number nine, regardless for the rest of the season.
Absolutely.
If he's fit.
If he's fit and available, yeah, absolutely, 100%. And I think if you look at, if Somerville takes that ball off Pirro, doesn't score it, he gets pelters.
Melier comes and deservedly so as well. Yeah. If you're willing to put yourself in that position, then rightly so.
Yeah, and that was a choice. You know, Melier makes a mistake. He flaps at one. It lands at somebody's feet and they just roll it into an empty goal. He's going to get pelters. So, you know, our players are going to get pelters if they make major mistakes. But that's part and parcel of being a professional footballer. I mean, they earn mega bucks to be able to do that. Yeah. And it's a dream job for millions of people. So that's just part and parcel of it, isn't it?
I didn't know this. And I'm not, as I openly speak about XG, and I'm not a massive fan about it, but there is a lot to be said for it. People have told me how it works. But I didn't realise the misses were this close. So Paddy's miss was a 0.46 XG and Joseph's was 0.4.
I didn't know that's it was that close.
I didn't realise it was that close. So when you take that into account, I wish I'd have had that for today on fucking Twitter, I tell you.
Has that come up on Twitter today, has it?
No, it must have done. I haven't seen it. That's the first I've seen of it. So thank you for that, Stu. But yeah, I don't really believe a lot.
Paddy's, he's got a massive fucking load of baggage around from last season still. And any excuse anyone can fathom, you know, they will use it as a stick to frigging batter him with. They will do. You know, even myself to a degree, I turned round and I'd made my hands when he missed that, you know, the other night. I was like, fucking Patrick Bamford. But I would still start him over Joseph. Even though I would like to see Joseph get more minutes, especially when Bamford started to look a bit leggy around the 60th minute yesterday. That's when he should have come on. But yeah, you don't change the system. Like Luke said, you know, when we said this on Brady and Cook last night, you do not fuck around with a system that's working. You just don't
reinvent a wheel. You know,
and it's absolutely fantastic that we've got that option.
Yeah.
You know, it's great that we've got that option. It's a shame that we don't have the other options like Connor Roberts, like Gruev not being available, like Nonto not being available, because they've all come into the side and had an impact. We've seen them have an impact. So it's a shame that we don't have them. But it's great that we got Joseph to come on, because it's been a long time us having Paddy as a nine with no real competition. You know, there's been people that have flitted in and flitted out of the squad. It's not his fault that he's still our starting nine. it just is.
That's it.
James Clark says, at the Ipswich game, and it only looked like an impact injury, so should only need a couple of days recovery.
That's key for Morris on about, I think.
Yeah, it will be, yeah. And Gray,
my mate Gray.
Family, I'm hoping, but Gray says, Tractor Boy here, Leeds' most attractive side in the Championship, except their coach, ugly as fuck.
Connor Roberts is the best looking man in the Championship.
What's that?
Connor Roberts is the best looking man in the Championship.
Yeah. The one thing I would say there is there are beautiful-looking humans and there are just beautiful humans, and Farker is most definitely a beautiful human, whatever you think of his looks.
Yeah, do you know what? A lot of girls I speak to watch Leeds and that, they think Farker's got something about him, like bit rugged, bit, you know, the long hair. And then he opens his mouth, they said, and like...
Ugh. Do you reckon he washes his hair with Timotei?
Nah, head and shoulders, mate.
Do you reckon he washes it in streams only? Yeah. Flicks it around a little bit.
Like the Ginola advert.
just the last comment for now is Matt Leeds. Any other player would have left the club and put hate on the club, how he was treated, but he stayed and has been great since Jan. We are lucky we have him. Paddy, I think that is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, without further ado, do you want to bring him in, Smart? Did you want to?
No, you're the host.
Okay. So there is a fine, upstanding gentleman.
Yes.
A fine figure of a man as well, that has been a kind of supportive cast for us, and we've been a supportive cast for him and what he's got going on. He forced us, I think. Forced is probably the wrong term. He coerced us with the offer of fried goods.
Yes. Asked as aggressively, I think.
Without further ado, I'm going to bring Lee into the conversation. Lee is from Andy's Man Club and can now introduce himself. Welcome along, Lee. How are you doing?
No, then, lads. You're right.
Evening, Lee.
Good, thank you. How are you doing?
Good, yeah. Good, thank you.
Good stuff. So, do you want to talk about the walk first? I'm still suffering, I think.
Yeah, we all got together on the 23rd, which would have been Gary Speed's birthday, and we walked around 13 murals around Leeds, which was roughly 17, 18 miles. Money is still coming in. We've raised £2,754, and there's £500. £500 to go on that, which is amazing.
Oh, good.
I can't thank you, lads, enough for your ongoing support. It's been brilliant.
That's an absolute pleasure, mate.
You're the guys doing it. You're the guys on the cold face and offering people the support. You know what? I think I can only speak for myself and not the others, but for me, it's a case of, you know, just bringing light to what you're doing is the least we can do. You know, you're the guys that are there and providing that support that people need.
It's massively appreciated. Just, you know, like getting the stigma, you know, knocking down the stigmas and, you mentioning us once, twice, three times a week is just massive for us. You mentioned every week we've got five venues across Leeds, and they're growing massively all the time. You know, guys are walking through the door, and it's not such a big thing for them to do that anymore.
Yeah, no, good, absolutely. And you know, we have threatened to come down, and we've completely abject. Failed to do so far, but we definitely will.
good.
He goes to do this bloody walk. He offered us a fried sandwich. I mean, mine was an exceptionally large fried sandwich, I have to say. I don't know if there's a picture. I became famous in the cafes across Leeds for a day or so, because the cafe that we'd visited put out a poster saying, look at the size of this bastard, and it was massive, and I didn't spill a frigging bean, mind I say. Not one bean was spilled.
So you get minus points for that.
Fucking
you did it like within maybe 200 yards, and the sound.
I reckon so.
Did it look big next to your head?
I absolutely. No. It looked massive.
not next to his head.
I reckon Jay would have needed a stepladder to climb on top of the fucking thing. That's how big it was.
Jay could have swam in it.
The lady had put the sandwich on the corner of a unit, and you could just see it like around the corner. It was just getting bigger and bigger. It was just like it was. Speaking of peak round,
yeah,
ginormous.
Yeah,
you.
She said she was like, "Oh, smarty," and I went, "Me," and she went, "Do you want black pudding?" I went, "Ah, do you want mushrooms? Do you want this? Do you want that?" I get fucking wang it in, lass. Let's go, get on. Come on, let's have you. And it come out like bastard leaning tower of Pisa. It was huge. I'm going to be fucked after eating that, but I soldiered on. You know,
fine, lads.
Really, we've got a question for you. Which one do you facilitate at?
At Kirkstall Milford.
Wicked.
That's five across Leeds, and we're looking at another one as well.
Excellent. Great. No, that's really good stuff. And you've got another, not the same walk. You've got another walk coming up, haven't you? But it's walk and talk.
We do it at Middleton Park on Sunday at 11 o'clock.
Cool. And you're also going to be talking to Barber's Club and the Snooker and Pool Nights as well, which I think they're quite a regular occurrence as well now.
They are. They're a monthly thing. We're looking to do them on set weekends going forward, like the walk one weekend, you know, Barber's Club, etc. So the consecutive weeks are somewhat different for lads to attend and our facilitators.
And the walks that you do on weekends, that's open to all, isn't it? People can bring their families and whatever.
It is, yeah. You know, bring your kids, wife, dog, tortoise, whatever you want. It's fine.
Tortoise? Nice. I once saw a guy walking a bloody a meerkat around New Miller Dam. That's not a joke. Genuinely did. I thought it was a ferret at first. I thought, what the fuck's that? And it was stood up on his leg like that. It's a fucking meerkat.
Have you ever seen the guy that's walking and that ostrich? And he says, it's not an ostrich, it's a fucking emu.
Oh, he's an arsehole.
His name's Wather. He's a right arsehole. Anyway.
Right, so I've got one more question for you, Lee. Are we going up as fucking champions?
Well, this is the whole reason I've come on for you lot to reassure me, because I'm fucking shitting myself, to be honest.
Yeah.
Six games left? This weekend looks really interesting with all the matchups. So I think points could be dropped, including us. I just. If you ask me right now if we're going up, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but we are.
You've gone Smarties fence about with this legend eye company as well. I couldn't be in a room with you two, I tell you.
Yeah.
If we go up, I'll do Tash as well.
Brilliant.
So I'm going to break from the norm now, and we will come on to this between us. But I'm going to let the fans down maybe slightly here that are watching here. But Lee, I'm just going to ask you and capture your prediction for this one. So Coventry game, can you give me a scoreline, please?
Sneaky 1-0 win, Bamford.
Oh, ooh, nice. Legend.
Really,
I'd love it if you did score as well. I would love Bamford to score.
From halfway line.
We just need another screamer from bloody cup.
I think we got a lot of grief in last game that, you know, he's massively improved up last six or seven games. He's we're obviously playing with an injury for so long, and he's, you know, one game and every fan were on his back. And
yeah,
you know, his class is permanent at the end of the day.
But Smarty don't think he's classy. Nice for Leeds.
Well, Bamford. Bamford.
We'll leave that there. So I've captured that.
We're not doing any more Bamford bashing.
I'll just come around the rest of you. So I've kind of...
You shall not.
I've kind of sold myself a little short there, because I'm going to have to go next now, because Bren's not with us and I'm second in the league. So... every time I go 2-1, we win 3-1. But you know what? If I go 2-1 and we win 3-1, I'm still happy. So I'm going to go Leeds 2-1. Luke, you're next.
I'm going to go Leeds 2-0.
And Smarty?
2-0. Also 2-0.
We're going 2-0 as well.
You fucking copying bastard.
Yeah.
All the numbers you could have picked.
I'm not scared. I'm not Jay.
To be fair, Coventry just got beat at home by Cardiff, and Cardiff are shite.
Cardiff are shite. And we are not, and we are very good defensively.
And then they play Southampton away, so... Yeah, I think... Coventry is so hit and miss, man. I watched him play earlier in the season. That O'Hare just was absolutely class. But I think he's lost a bit of form, and I think that sort of tied up with how they've been performing, really. Because he looked mustard. I would have had him. But I don't really see much coming from Coventry at the minute. What were their results before that? They beat Huddersfield away 3-1. I mean, everyone, do you know what I mean? Beat Wolves in the cup, didn't they?
But they are in seventh, so they do very much have a realistic chance of playoffs.
Spanked Rotherham 5-0 in March.
Beat Wolves in Cup.
Yeah, they did, yeah. They've got a semi-final coming up, actually, against Scum, haven't they?
Is it Scum?
Yeah, Scum. But that's not till sort of the mid-end of April.
I'm just looking now. 21st of April, they've got that. So they've got us, then Saints on 9th, and then Birmingham on 13th before they play Scum. Yeah. But yes, they have. You are right. Still in the
Cup. So that could have took a bit out of them. That's probably coincided with a couple of funny results. I mean, Cardiff shouldn't be beating Coventry at Coventry, but we'll see. We'll see.
Just getting into silly season at the moment, though, where any results can happen. You know, these last few games you just can't make them up sometimes.
And it's one of them, isn't it, where. Because there's no easy games, and because everybody's scrapping for every single available point, the weight of expectation on the clubs that are at the top is to beat the clubs that are at the bottom. It doesn't work like that. We've seen that it just doesn't work like that. No easy games.
No, and you look at the table, and from Norwich down right down to even Cardiff, really, there is only 8 points between 6th and 12th. So any of those from Cardiff upwards can be playing for playoffs, and then you've got everybody down from there. Nah, not really. You've only really got sort of realistically probably up to maybe QPR or Swansea. So 15th downwards. There's only really Watford, Sunderland, and Bristol, I would say, in the league that aren't really playing for much this season.
Yeah,
they're pretty much safe. Cardiff upwards are all playing for playoffs. You've got sort of probably QPR, Swansea downwards that are all potentially relegation fodder, and then there's only three teams that are just going through the motions of, you know, a few dead rubbers. So and we've thankfully only got one, well, we've got one of them to play, haven't we? Unfortunately, we didn't think Watford were a dead rubber, did we, when we played them? So
but equally, you know, Sunderland have really struggled without Jack Clarke. Now I don't think he's that. I don't think he's all that. I think he's overrated. He's all right at this level. But everything they do goes through him. So it does hurt them, him not being there, even if he's not the world beater that some people would have you believe he is. But you look at QPR, and 3 weeks ago, QPR were 21st. They've won two games in a row, and all of a sudden, the 16th, and you're talking like they're on the fringes of just being safe, and it kind of being the easy street for them to end the season. So it shows how quickly it can turn when you're down there, just getting a couple of results as well. You're instantly up the table. So they're all scrapping for that. And as we've said, there's just no easy games. So I think in terms of just the lineups then, so Smarty, I'm going to come to you first. Do we expect us to line up with what we had? Do you expect Gruev to come back in? I'm just asking for some guesses at this point.
I think if Gruev is available, then absolutely he comes back in. It would be contrary to what we've seen before about players and what we've said before about players coming straight back in from injury. We haven't seen it before. He might get onto the bench if he's fit. But I think we'll pretty much be identical to what we started against Watford and the whole all City lads on Monday. Yeah, so I can't really see it. I can't really see it changing, if I'm honest.
Watford or Hull, sorry. Because you had Cooper, obviously, back for at Watford.
Sorry, yes, we did, didn't we? Yes, fuck Liam Cooper, right off. Oh, thanks. just the Hull City line will do for me, thank you very much.
Leeds legend, you can't do that to me.
Yeah, Leeds legend, you know, yeah.
Luke, anything different on that?
Nah, I think if Gruev's fit and he trains all week, then absolutely. I don't think he comes straight back in if he's coming to the end of his injury by the end of the week. But I think we probably line up exactly the same as we did Monday night, to be fair, unless Gruev has been on the grass.
Bit of a take here from Bryn. What do you reckon to that?
Nah. Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Yeah, I'd keep Kamara in and Gruev. Yeah,
so you would Kamara was playing poorly, wasn't he? No, Gray would go back to right back. and dropped Byron.
You got all blurry then when you were talking. Sorry, mate. What did you say?
Just asking you, Smarty, from a standpoint of Gray versus Kamara versus Byron, are you dropping Gray?
I'd probably drop Byron. I mean, it's, you know, given the fact that he said he couldn't run after 45 minutes against Hull City, then you'd be the more likely one to drop out. Great back to right back, and then Gray back in the middle of the park where he should be, where we've really, really needed him.
I think,
definitely.
For me, it's shone a light on how important Grove has become to us in a very short space of time. Because I were looking at the wins we were getting and the way that we were playing, and I were thinking, well, is he that impactful? Is he that good? Because we're playing against sides that we expect to be beating, and you know, Rucha's creating loads of chances, and Bamford and Nonto and James and Somerville are scoring loads of chances. Is it really Grove? I think this has shown that it is. He is that important.
Humongous gaping holes in the middle of our field would suggest so, I think.
Yeah. So just moving off Smarty's gaping hole, Lee. why do you think Smarty is just at such a lead dating back?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I don't know if it's Leeds. I think it's just Liam Cooper, to be honest.
It's everyone. Everyone, Lee. Yeah, I hate life.
I'll pass you an easy one, Lee. So, from a perspective of what the lads have outlined in the lineup that we had against Hull, do you expect it? Gruever side, if he's available and he's trained all week, do you expect it to be the same lineup?
Roundabout, yeah. I think Gruever's got to come in. He just offers more balance, and like Smarty said, I think you know Gray to right back, and that's best team we've had all season, really.
Very good, very good. So I think, just the last one actually, Lee. Calvin Phillips, where would you land? If he comes available...
God, he's putting a bit of pressure on you, Lee.
Either a loan or something that financially makes sense. It's not 30 million, it's 10.
I'm sort of from the school of thought that you never go back, really. You know, relationships.
Fucking.
Fucking, basically. I think those days have passed and we've got to look to the future.
What about David Batty?
Oh, I'd have him back, yeah.
He came back, didn't he?
But he did come back, though.
Yeah, true. Yeah, but he wanted to
see. This is where you get disassembled live on air, Lee, and they've set you up an absolute belter here because he's asked you a fucking question and then he's going to fucking assassinate you live on YouTube. So crack on, it's your turn. I'm joking. No, we won't do that to you. We won't do that to you, mate.
No, it is a difficult one. I think if you look at the way that he's playing at the moment, he's not playing at the level of the Championship. He's not that good. He's been absolutely abhorrent to watch recently. But yeah, I don't know. He's one of them. If we carry on talking, Smart is going to try and explain to me how David Batty is not a club legend, so we need to get off it, really. Yeah.
David Batty win a title. There you go.
Got it, Liam Cooper.
Phillips is in probably the worst place he's been football wise,
which is exactly why we might get him.
Yeah. You really want him, don't you, Luke? Luke really, really wants Calvin back.
Yeah, I'm not about sentiment. I think he. It makes perfect sense. He's an upgrade.
I still think he could do a great job for us.
He's an upgrade on what Gruev can do.
Can you believe though we're getting him back as a fixer upper though? You know, like that.
Yeah. It's unreal, isn't it? From where he was. Mm. It is really unreal. Okay. So I think you know, I had a list of things to talk about. We've gone through that list of things to talk about. I'll just come around to it. Lee, is there anything else that you would like to add at this point?
Just again, I'd just like to thank you all. Luke included, Luke the first person that I got talking to on pod just for backing us for nearly 3 years. I'm just proud to call you all mates.
Absolutely.
Keep doing the good work, mate. It's fucking
no problem.
Yeah, right, keep up the good work, pal.
Cheers. Thanks for popping on, mate. Thanks for spending your time.
Thanks,
with
us.
I hope I haven't done too badly there. We're absolutely shitting.
No, you've been fine.
No, you're absolutely fine, mate. Cheers.
Fine, don't worry. Mate, when we first started, there were 5 or 6 people watching us and I were bricking it. So, you know, you can see 400-odd people in corner and I can understand it. No, you've been fine.
Really? Nobody's right. Thanks a lot.
See you later, mate.
Cheers, Lee.
Cheers. I just want to address this comment. Calvin Phillips didn't finish his English.
Oh, Christ. Fucking hell.
He's not finished. He's
28 as well, isn't he?
You need to say it in a Scottish, in a Glaswegian accent.
He's not finished. He's only 28.
He's not finished. He's only 28.
Anti-Nemi.
I tell you what, I don't like making a big deal of it while he's there, but I tell you what, Lee's a great guy. He's just one of them. When you meet him, he's just a great fella.
I thought
he was going to say Luke included, even though he didn't do the walk.
Even though he's a bellend.
That's where I thought he was angling with that. But look, I just want to thank you all. Luke included, even though he couldn't be asked walking around Leeds.
He wanted to go to a bloody Girls Aloud gig instead of something.
I know. Everyone knows I didn't do it anyway. I think I'm not in any picture. I just wanted to mention just quickly about Coventry's last game, actually. Liam Kitchen, Leeds legend. Or icon, probably. scored two own goals for Cardiff. So we could do a bit more of that a weekend. And one of them, if you watch it back, he literally just hits it. I have seen one of them.
He just own goal,
smashes it into his own top corner. I'm sure he's probably had a bet on that game. But yeah, we'll see.
I didn't realise this. I thought Leif Davis.
Leeds legend for scoring a non goal as well.
Lee says he accidentally booted himself out. I didn't even realise. At least he got the bye.
It's fine.
Steve says he's just an ex-player. Yeah, he is. I don't think he ever played for that. I don't even think he ever got on the bench for the first team, did he?
Fair enough. Smarty, anything else to add?
No.
Any other players that you want to fuck off?
No. I hate Leeds. I hate everyone that plays for Leeds. Anyone that's involved with Leeds.
Oh, shit. Do you know what we haven't done? We haven't had Brent.
Hey, there's got a shit tick this week, my little spatter fact.
I only realised when I went to play outro. Fucking, sorry, Brent. But one thing I will say is I ain't got one ready, so I'm hoping that one of you guys has. Luke, you probably have
Luke's
something.
Luke's probably got a fucking library from today, from his little rantings that he's been going on today.
Let me just check my Twitter bookmarks. I'll be back with you in a moment.
I've bookmarked some. Can I also mention, by the way, now that we're talking about the Coventry game, we're also not going to be on before the Sunderland match either. Because that's on Tuesday. Do we do predictions for Sunderland?
We might have to.
That's a very good point. I tell you what, fastest finger first. Fans, give us some predictions.
Sunderland at home prediction. Go!
Yeah, Sunderland.
2-2! 2-2! I saw that somewhere back there. 2-2.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. I'm lying.
Go on then. What's yours, Gilly? 4-0. 2-1. Matt Leeds. 2-1.
Hotel.
Matt Leeds is 2-1.
What are you doing, Gilly?
We're at home for that, aren't we?
Yes.
I'm going 3-1 because it's been so long since I've gone 3-1, and every time I don't, it is. So
you've gone for that for both games then, 3-1, yeah?
No, I went 2-1 for Cov.
Oh, did you?
So I said it will be 3-1 because I've gone 2-1. But no, I've gone 3-1 Leeds for Sunderland.
I'm going 2-0 again.
Oh, you fucker. Right, I'll go 3-0. I'm not doing the same as you again. Not twice. Right, not for two consecutive games.
It's fine.
I'm going 3. I'll go 3-0.
Matt Leeds said
2-1 as well, I think.
2-1.
Yeah. 2-1.
Fuck Sunderland of shit. You better not clip this.
I think my shit take of the week is probably the whole fans giving it to Dan James saying he let his country down and for him to only go and score from
I quite enjoyed that, to be fair.
53 yards out and sealed the game. So, yeah, I think that's got to be the shit take of the week, hasn't it? All fans giving it to Dan James about him being a Hull City reject and all that. It's got to be.
Yeah, and, I don't begrudge all doing that because I've done that against Gummers and Spurs players and Arsenal players. So, you know. It comes back to, you know, the professional footballers that play for the country, they're going to get some shit if they get it wrong. But they're in a privileged position to be able to give it a go out there. So, Fuck it. Yeah. Straight. I did have one, but Jays,
Jays are in as well.
2-0 Crawford, 4-0 Sunderland.
4-0 to Sunderland. That's a big fucking
deal. Three of us gone 2-0. That's what it says. Game. Fuck off, Jay.
4-0 Sunderland. What a stupid bastard. He's gone 2-0 Coventry and 4-0 Sunderland.
Leeds aren't going to score a goal in the next two games. It's a big call, but you know what?
Conceding six goals in the next two games.
Call yourself a Leeds fan.
Yeah, call yourself a Leeds fan.
He'd be frantically typing on his little miniature keypad now.
He's just got a little calculator. Everyone else has got a keyboard. He uses a calculator to type.
He's got a wand. He's got one of them wands. Yeah. Well, to lead you, daft twats. It says fucking 4-0 Sunderland and 2-0 Coventry, you little germ. It's there anyway. In black and white. Tit. Anyway.
So, I did bookmark one that was, somebody said, always think that any manager who was a defender will never become a good manager. Maybe a coach for a club, but never a manager. And I did have a bit of an argument about that one. So it's not specifically about Leeds, but it was a pretty poor take for me. Because Bielsa himself, club legend, Marty.
Absolutely fucking legend, that's right.
Wenger, Pochettino, Pellegrini, Trapattoni, Tuchel, Blanc, Beckenbauer, dirty bastard. Benitez, Klopp, dirty bastard. Steen, Lippi, Dubois, Koeman, Moyes, Howe, Bilic, Shankly, Paisley. And then you've got Pep, Ancelotti, Van Gaal and Jose that were all DMCs. So, yeah, that's my shit take of the week. He's pretty bad. And then Joe points one out. David O'Leary. It's a good shout. So, yeah, that's my entry. But I do think that Luke's pretty much on the money with that. Anything from you, Smack?
No. I'm not that active on Twitter at the moment. But I will be. I'll make a comeback at some point. I nearly got involved with Luke today, bashing that certain individual before. Now he seems to be doing a good enough job on his own, so I left it.
Right. So I reckon we're probably going to call it there. I'm done. I mean, we just
Evans was a defender. What did he defend his fridge?
Fucking Jesus, sandwich.
We're also talking about capable managers, so yeah. You know. Yeah.
He steadied the ship when he took control of us. He didn't do too bad. Best of a bad bunch.
Moving on. So you've absolutely pilloried Bielsa, Cooper,
Club legend is Steve Evans, just like Dark and Milanich. David Ockaday, absolute fucking legend. Steve Evans, give him Keith at City.
And his fucking big fucking massive out and going.
Hey,
that's my memory.
Tell you what. What a guy.
Ah, fuck Steve Evans. Prick. Yeah, no, fuck it. Thanks all. See you in a bit.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the independent Leeds United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OughtToKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke aftermatch podcasts. We've 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.